Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Now, wait a minute. I know them, you know. They should have been singing the whole time live.
Exactly, man.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me. Blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale. Like, I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But hey, I spoke
it. You are a real artist. You
I am a real artist.
Was written, and you know what? You know what, cuz? I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I
told God I would be faithful about the spirit that he gave me, and that, and he wouldn't let me, release it for some time, but if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, AJ Disco. AJ Disco. 3-5. And I say, sure, I don't do no physical harm to them.
Mm-hmm.
I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act right.
Okay. I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all
that. Yeah. See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl, the one you heard about. We fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron Hill, who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, like you said, I was sitting there, there was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything, and, I don't want to call him his real name. Chaz has come a long way, and his music is...
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
Good day, good day. This is T, to the A, to the Z. Welcome to ATP Live. It's been a minute since I've been in here. I have Paula Patton Ross on the line. Paula?
What's happening, radio folk?
And I also have number area code 763. Identify yourself.
94 East, baby.
The
This is 94 East. That's a call I was expecting. I didn't know the number, but
that's
I wanted
right.
to make sure.
94 East yeah. from Minneapolis.
And how you doing?
By way of Brooklyn, New York, baby.
Hey.
Y'all sound live over there.
Oh, yeah. We always live, baby. You know, we got, hey, that's how we roll in Brooklyn. I done brought Brooklyn to Minneapolis. That's how it is.
It needed it, brother. It needed it.
I hear you.
Wait a minute. I'm from Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Well,
that's Christy.
And now you done caught the vapors.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Not the vapors. But where are you?
I'm in Arizona, but I'm from the East Coast, baby.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. That's
New
exactly
York, New Jersey.
About.
New
Jersey. New
Jersey.
Yeah.
Jersey. We didn't like Jersey
it's,
drivers. That's the only thing.
It, I know.
So is this Mrs. Paula?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I see it.
All right.
And Taz is in the house.
Who, G, is there G right there?
G right is not here yet.
Okay.
All right. Well,
who is this?
That's Taz.
T-A-Z.
That's right.
T-A-Z.
I want you guys to introduce yourselves one by one, 94 East. Just say your names and exactly what you do, when, you know, within the group.
Okay. I'll let the ladies go first, baby. Go ahead.
Okay. My name's Marcy, and I'm a background vocalist, songwriter, and keyboard player. And I'm Christy. And I'm a background vocalist and songwriter and do various other administrative types of things. And play a little keyboard.
Yay, Christy. Woohoo. And I'm Pepe, man. I'm the one that's putting everything together. You know what I'm saying? I do everything. I write, I produce, I engineer, I edit, you know. We do it all. I play guitar, I play bass, I play drums and keyboards.
And he's the president.
And the president.
The CEO, the CFO, and the COO.
And I watch HBO.
I don't
want to go.
Come on. So it's all good. How did you formulate this group or decided to do what you guys are doing?
Okay, I guess I got to speak first, being that I'm the originator. But anyway, what happened is I came to Minneapolis from Brooklyn, New York, and I met up with Prince and Andre, Simone, and Morris Day. They all were in the same group. And during that time,
that
was
the mid-70s.
Yeah, mid-70s. During that time, I was in the studio recording some of my own tracks. I didn't have any musicians. I was just doing it by myself. And I just played guitar and I started singing. I didn't have no name for the group or anything. And, you know, as I was working with Prince and getting those guys in the shape, and I found out that Prince was a phenomenal musician, I had asked him to come and play on my session, you know, that I was doing in the studio. And at that time, he had never been in a recording studio ever, you know.
Oh.
First time he was in a recording studio was with us, you know, and so later on we went in the studio, we did like 5 songs, and Marcy and Christy, I had met these guys, I did a play with Christy years ago, and then her and Marcy went to the same college, and I found out that they can sing. We was rolling in my Super Beetle.
And guess
you
where
know,
we were rolling?
Where were we rolling?
On 94 East.
Oh, baby.
The freeway.
Yeah.
That's the freeway. It goes from Minneapolis all the way to the East Coast.
Right. So it was like New Year's Eve, and they had the radio station here was playing all Motown hits and everything, and I just started singing as soon as the songs came on. And then I heard that these girls, they started singing. And I was going like, oh, no, I didn't know y'all could sing. And it's going like, yeah. And I'm saying, oh, y'all got to come to the studio and work with me. And that's how the band started, our group started as far as the singers is concerned. And then I went and found the other musicians.
Right. And you can imagine, here we are, some girls fresh out of college, and we get an opportunity to sing and go in the studio. We were on it.
I swooned them with some New York stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Lord. So much fun.
But it was a lot of fun during them days and stuff. It was great, you know.
That's cool. Tell me, the song that I'm getting ready to play is called Fortune Teller. And just give me a background of what was the inspiration behind that song, because I almost can tell a fortune on that myself. So tell me exactly the real deal on Fortune Teller.
Okay, the real deal on Fortune Teller is Hank Cosby, who produced Stevie Wonder at Motown. He produced My Sharia Moore and For Once in My Life, and I think he co-writ My Sharia Moore, one of those tracks. He wrote that track for us when we were signed with Polydor.
Fortune Teller and 1015.
Fortune Teller he wrote. Yeah, he wrote Fortune Teller just for us. And Colonel Abrams was the original singer at that time. We had went and got Colonel. We found him somewhere, you know. and he sang the lead part. And later on, it just didn't pan out. So then I did the lead part. And we had Prince playing guitar when we was in the studio in Minneapolis.
Yeah, okay, I'm getting ready to play Fortune Teller. And we'll back with 94 East in the house and Paula Patton Ross in the house. Try to find out where the heck G Wright is at.
G Wright is G wrong in right now, baby.
Here's Fortune Teller.
Look into the future. Come on, tell me now, I just can't.
It was wonderful.
You know,
yeah, I bet it was.
It was unbelievable.
Well, you guys are right on.
Uh-oh, who's that calling me?
I ignored
it.
Well, you know, something about you were talking about envisioning being in the studio with Prince, and I just wanted to, tap into that because being in the studio here in Minneapolis in the 70s, I mean, we were all like kids in a candy store.
I'm still a kid, and I'm looking for my candy.
Tell me about it.
It was just like so much fun, and the excitement level was so high. And
yeah, it was a new sound. You know, we invented a whole new sound.
And
that's what kept me
here.
And that's what kept me here. A lot of my friends were calling me. I'm going like, "Yo, man, you coming back to New York, man?" And I'm going like, "Nah, man, I'm gonna hang out here for a minute," you know.
Because
it was happening, and I seen it. I envisioned the whole thing, and it was unbelievable. And then later on, we helped out like Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis.
Oh yeah,
Alexander O'Neill. You know what I mean? I mean, all of those people came through us and stuff, and we had so much fun, you know, just teaching these guys because you know this is the Midwest, Minneapolis. There's nobody up here. You know what I'm saying? And then I came into town, and I started talking to some of these musicians and, you know, songwriters and singers, and I'm going like, man, you got to go in the studio. If you want to do anything, you have to go to a recording studio, record your stuff like you want to hear it on the radio, and then take that stuff and start hitting the pavement. Back then in them days, you can hit the pavement. You can knock on Warner Brothers' door and go like, yeah, I want to see your A&R dude, you know. And they let you in.
No,
you can't get in. They call security on you quick.
No, I know. But, you know, like back in the day, man, you could at least go ahead and send one of your demos off to a DJ for, you know, a little bit of air time.
That's right.
You know?
Right.
But nowadays, you're right. Security.
That's right. Yeah. They done did so much wrong. There's some people looking for
it. It's true. People have made it really, really bad. I grew up back in New Jersey, and my uncle, my mother's brother, he was what you'd call cosmopolitan.
Right.
Him and his best friend, who I call my Uncle Keith. Anyway, both of them have passed now. But when I was a little girl, Sarah Vaughan, Dakota Staten, Gloria Lynn, Brooke Benton, Arthur Prysock, all of them would be downstairs in the basement, you know, and they'd be, you know, at the bar. And I grew up with music. Saturdays was the day my father would play Dave Brubeck, Les Baxter. And I grew up in the doo-wop era when at night, and the street lights came on.
Right.
The guys that wanted to make it into the business were under the street light.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, so the appreciation I have for music is just like air that I breathe and water that I drink.
Absolutely.
You know, and I just jumped right into it. I was in college when I got started, much like you guys, and like a kid in a candy store. I had just put my name up on the bulletin board because a girlfriend of mine whose brother was with Two Live Crew was saying she did background vocals. And she says, well, if you want to do some, you know, get into the business, just put your name up. So I put my name up on the board. Maurice White from Earth, Wind, and Fire was the director of the department. And he knew that the only reason why I was taking the music lab, I did finish my music theory class, but he knew the only reason why I had signed up was for the opportunity to get in the lab because I had never heard digital music was just breaking out.
Because I was afraid of that for a while.
Yeah, classmates were recording sounds in the lab, and I was, like, on the keyboard composing, you know. And when they, you know, I had auditioned for a chance to do background vocals or something like that. Guys, everybody was just pulling me in. I was singing background vocals for people. I didn't even think about contracts, getting pay, or nothing. I'm like, when can I sing?
That's how it was here. That's how it was here when I came to Minneapolis. All these guys wanted to do was be on stage and play. That's all they cared about. They just wanted to play. And then I go like, man, you should be getting paid. I mean, I introduced these guys to like the Musicians Union, you know, contracts with phonograph recording contracts, you know, that you get from the union, and you go in the studio and get union scale and stuff. And then when I hired these guys, I paid them union scale. They loved it.
Yeah.
You know, they loved it. And then I took Prince and Andre to New York and to do some sessions with Tony Sylvester from the main. Yeah.
I know him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my buddies, man. He died recently, man, but he was we hung real tough. Matter of fact, the first album that I did called Minneapolis Genius 94 East, Tony co-produced it with me. And Prince is on that too. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of
Small World, baby.
Yeah, it is.
Song 10:15. Before it gets 10:15.
Hey, we could be talking to you at 10:15 a.m. the next morning. But anyway, yeah, 10:15 is a song that I wrote, I was young and I was thinking about how guys thought, you know, when they're waiting for their woman to come home. And what they were thinking about, you know, they don't usually tell anybody that they were nervous or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was just a thing that I wrote. I was just sitting down thinking, you know, like, where's my girl at, man? It's like 10:15, man. You know, the phone ain't ringing. Where's she at? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know, you be thinking that she's out there tripping, you know, with somebody else or something, you know. And, you know, so it was kind of that type of thing, you know. But
Prince played guitar.
Yeah, Prince played guitar. That song and Fortune Teller was supposed to have been our single when we were signed with Polydor. And we came into the studio, Sound 80 Recording Studios in Minneapolis, to record it. And Prince was in the studio, so we ran into him. He goes like, yo, man, what are you guys doing here? We're going like, yo, man, we're getting ready to record our single. He goes like, what? You know, he says, hey, man, he said, can I be on it? And we go like, yeah, man, come on, let's go, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Because he had just finished his demo at that time.
Isn't that something?
Well, we had fun. The 10:15 is
it's a classic.
It's a classic. I love that song.
10:15 by 94 East with Prince on guitar.
Yep.
There's still no call from you, and I'm wondering. This is poet author Mark Lacy. H-E-A-Z-P recorded live right here in the basement of Snellville, Georgia, where I saw you and I heard you for the first time, but most deaf, not the last, not the last. Taz, T-A-Z is vicious on the recorder and notorious with the beats that creep from the speakers into your ears, turning them into sweetsters and seekers of the heat from melodic rhythms that scare you, then wear you like denim. Hit them up on the web. Listen up on MySpace for ATAZP recorded live in the studio.
ATAZP live. Host 94E, Paula Patton Ross on the line. I like the song, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love that track, too. And you know, what we like about the whole CD, too, you know, is that no two songs sound alike.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
You know, they're totally different from one another, and that's what I like about it. You know, so, and we got some hip hop things in there too. You know, and it's really a great CD. You know, once you know, and I'm not just saying it because we did it, and I know you probably hear that a lot, but I guarantee, you know, most people when they buy it, you know, they put it in their car. And it stays in there. You know what I'm saying? It stays in there. I mean, they love it. They just absolutely love it.
They're
know,
good so. Driving tunes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great.
It is. That track especially, I really dug it. And I was listening to the keyboard because I used MIDI in my recording. And it wasn't until I started working with digital music that I recognized, although I played on a Rhodes, a Wurlitzer, and, you know, Concord Piano, I've noticed that there are names to go with the sounds these keyboards make.
Absolutely.
How many tracks were you guys using in the studio at that time? On the mixing board?
At that time, we was doing, was it 16? 24?
I would say like 24. 12.
No. For the
24 tracks.
It was 24 tracks because it was at Sound 80, and they were the top of the line in the Midwest.
Yeah, that was high-end professional studio.
Yeah, 24
tracks. Yeah, I figured,
Now you can do 68, 124.
That's so true. It's so true. And Chrissy and Marcy, how many tracks did you guys use for your background vocals?
I wonder if they know. They don't know the answer to that.
if you go back
and record, how many times did I ask you to do those tracks? What do I do?
Well, we usually do like three, maybe even four.
No, you do six.
Okay, it was six. Oh.
I knew it had to be more than three for that sound because it was round.
Yeah,
it was full body.
Yeah, we do six, and then we pan them, and then, you know, all that type of stuff, and then mix them down to stereo tracks.
Love to layer those backgrounds.
Yeah, just layer.
Yeah, layering them,
Paula P., you know what I'm saying? You layer them.
That's exactly what I meant, too.
That's it, you know. You have
to. You know, Enya, the artist Enya, she used like 200 tracks for her voice.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
That's how she gets
it blew
that
me away.
Particular sound.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of the what you think are musical instruments,
her
voice.
It's
because
her
voice. She uses so many tracks.
Yeah. Wow. She wants to get
that liberty.
Amount of tracks to me, it just sounds kind of weird then. It doesn't, you know what I mean? I want to make it sound as natural as possible, and I think six is the limit with vocals, especially backing vocals for me. You know, anything other than that, it just doesn't advise.
Yeah, it loses. It's not artifactual.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds artifactual,
We like to keep it real, you know, and we came up in the day where, you know, once you put it down on tape, there was no going back. had to get it right. And you didn't have auto-tune. You didn't have all of those other new contraptions.
And punching in and punching out.
Right.
And then I remember the people with the 2-inch reel tape hanging around their neck because they were splicing it.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Yeah. And then
that was way before me.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Way
yeah,
way before.
Two-inch tape.
Yeah.
Two-inch tape. That's
see,
it.
We had the DAT tapes, and we'd get, like, buy the big reels out when they were on sale because those reels
right.
were
so expensive.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But the DAT tape is what saved our life. And I was blown away going into the studio because 8-tracks had been gone for a long time, but we were still using them.
I feel you, baby. I feel you. Say, that's what we got. That's what we using. I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, because you would change. You would chain those DAT machines together to get more and more tracks.
Oh, God.
Stack them and chain them together.
Do a lot of bouncing, you know. But we had ADAPs. We had the ADAP machines. We, matter of fact, we had one of the first Pro Tools, you know.
Really?
Yeah. One of the first.
Yeah, that's what I'm using now, Pro Tools and DigiDesign.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I hear
that's
you.
It now. Because you know it'll change. It'll be changing soon to something else.
Yeah,
excuse me, after I bought my system, they brought up another system and, you know, we then upgraded and updated. And I'm like, I'm not changing. I can't afford to.
And then they make the stuff so that your old stuff won't even work with it, you know.
Yeah, not good.
That's crazy. But if you got, if you have, like we have a Pro Tools TDM system, you know, and that's great. That's a good system, you know.
Really?
And now they have, like, the HD and all of that stuff. And I'm going to upgrade.
Yeah.
But I don't have to do it right now. I don't have to do it because we have a quality system. And everything is digital, and the sounds are great. So it's just imagine how you produce it and, you know, and how you, record it and everything.
Mix
you know?
It. Yeah.
And edit.
Yeah.
And edit.
Edit.
And that's what I get mostly out of it is the editing, you know.
Yeah.
I love
it. Yeah, I enjoy the editing, too.
Yeah. I don't like... I'll do rough mixes. I like to do that, but when it comes to like the final mix, and you know, I hire people to do the mixing because I'm not going to go through those tracks all over again and clean them up. And
you know,
it's a lot of
you
work.
You know,
yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm a writer also, and when I get ready to format a book, I've learned that like. You know the book is finished when the next time, because I mean anybody could write the two counter comes out of the rewrites.
Right.
So you know that when you pick up that book one time and you look at that and you think that you're gonna throw up if you have to read another word. That you did the last rewrite on it, and all the words start sound. They all look the same.
Yeah.
Everything loses its meaning and everything. You gotta pass it off to somebody else.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, because you're too familiar.
And, but it, you know, it's not that you can't comprehend it and stuff like that. But you know what happens is everything that you have in your studio comes with a manual. You know
everything.
And you got to sit down. You got to read all of that stuff.
I'm telling
you. It's crazy.
Unless you bootleg it, you can bootleg it. Everything. And you ain't got no manual. You don't have a manual.
Say, let's bootleg it, baby.
I can't read the manual. You bootleg it.
I want you guys to give out your information where they can buy your CD, and also what's up next for you guys.
Okay, I'll tell you what's next, and Chrissy can tell you where all our info. But what's next for us, we're doing a show in Chicago at the Club Chicago, June 6th. And we're also, is it June 6th?
I thought it's the 7th.
Oh,
the
June
7th,
I'm sorry. We're also, this is, you guys are getting exclusive on this, but we're doing a show with Run DMC in North Carolina.
Raleigh,
North Carolina.
Labor Day.
September the 6th.
And you know, that came about as a result of all the connections we made when we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremonies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Because Run DMC was inducted as well, and next thing you know, we're going to
get in.
Yeah.
And they hardly perform anymore, so that is amazing.
Yep.
It's going to be great. Like 7,000 people are going to be out there. And it's for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum benefit, you know,
okay.
What it's for.
And one thing I was going to add,
one of the things that is getting us down to Chicago is that one of our songs off the CD called Fallen in Love is really good for stepping.
Yeah.
And they're really clicking on that for doing those that kind of dance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Step came out in Chicago.
Right.
And,
so we're going to be performing Fallen in Love when we go down to Chicago because, you know, they just love that
song. They love
it.
I mean, they love it. We're just picking up radio stations left and right, you know.
How cool.
And Fallen in Love, so. It's a good thing. So that's what we're doing now. We're making a big push. You know, we're doing interviews like when you guys show. We love doing these type of things. We love the energy. That's why we're so hype. You know what I mean? We love doing that type of stuff because we want people to know, you know, what we're doing and you know, and let them know that, you know, we're real people. You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah.
You know,
and when I first heard the music, I was feeling it. As soon as I heard it, I said, yeah, it's not the same old same, you know.
Right.
Right.
Back in the day feel that I'm bopping my head to, and I'm really. So
let me tell you where. First of all, you can go to www.94eastmpls.com. That's www.94eastmpls.com. And get on there, and then you'll find links that will take you to various other things where you can get our stuff, because you can download our stuff on iTunes, Amazon.com, Yahoo, any of those major download stations. And when you get on that site, you can see some videos of us. You can also click on view our pictures and see all the pictures we took when we were out at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, with Bootsy. I was with Bootsy Collins, baby.
Bootsy Collins. We got pictures with Russell Simmons. We got pictures with Run DMC. We got all kind of pictures of
it.
It's kind
great.
Of fun to go through.
Bootsy is real cool. Yeah, Eddie LaVert was hanging out.
Oh, gosh.
That's
cool. You know, I met him. He's the sweetest.
Now, do you know Sammy Strain? He used to sing with the OJs, okay? And he sang with the OJs for 13 years, I believe. But before that, he was a member of Little Anthony and the Imperials. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So what happened was he got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the OJs. And then he just got inducted again with Little Anthony and the Imperials.
And I'm personal friends with Bootsy Collins' son. His son is Ooh-wee.
Right.
I'm friends with him.
Yeah, really.
I want to take this opportunity before Taz brings you back on the show to invite you guys. I am, if I do this right, I may be getting my own television network, but for the most part, I have a web-based show that's going to premiere in June called Namaste Broadcasting Network.
Oh.
And it's a network that presents information about health and wellness, a focus on spirituality and the arts.
We're
going to do the entire spectrum of the arts. And I'll say home-based businesses because a lot of people, when I say home-based businesses, I'm talking about skincare manufacturing. I have a couple of people that I've trained to make, because I have a skincare company as well, but they make soaps and lotions and things like that. These are the type of programs that we're going to have. But I want to feature all artists, especially recording artists, and as well as give their music some airplay.
Right.
And there'll be a 24/7 radio station that'll play when, you know, there are no shows unless you're watching, you know, reruns.
Wow.
We'll change the format, the programming, like every month until, you know, we develop a presence go from there. But you can get my information from Taz if that's something you guys think you'd be interested in.
Yeah, just send us an email. Put it, you know.
And,
oh.
Well, I got the email address.
Yeah, send all that stuff to us, and you know.
We would love to.
Yeah.
And
later,
appreciate it. We can
and,
do interview via if you guys use Skype.
Yeah.
And what I do is go ahead and shoot you guys the questions of, you know, ahead of time, and you guys can decide who's going to answer which questions, and you know, get all together before we go ahead and air.
That's perfect.
Oh. Before we close out, G Wright is online, 202. And go on, G Wright.
G Wright, where have you been?
Where you been?
Where you been, G Wright?
Where you been, G Wright?
Because I've been watching the movie. I'm sorry.
Oh, you could at least be watching the playoffs.
I can't believe he even admitted that.
That's because G Wright is never
Pinocchio
wrong, baby.
Off. I had to turn Pinocchio off, and I was going to say to everybody, I have some current event information, because as Pinocchio came on, you know they have moratoriums. Disney puts a movie out, and then they take it away for like 5 years and put it back out. They remastered Pinocchio, and I want everybody to know, Tinkerbell is fat. She is no longer bulimic.
G-Wright is a gospel artist. He's got his own CD out as well. Everybody you talking to do music. I do music as well.
Oh, okay,
and,
yeah.
So, G-Wright, I know you missed 94 East. You missed Paula. And you definitely didn't miss that movie, I guess.
Yeah.
It's still going on, but I said, oh, man, I've got to call my brother's show.
I hear you.
And I want to thank 94 East for being in here. And like I said, I love the music, and I wrote down the website, and I will get in contact with you via email and hit you up with my information, also Paula's information. That way y'all can get together and when she starts this network.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I guess I'll be helping her on some of the aspects.
You know you will.
That's right.
Especially as far as music is concerned.
Absolutely.
I'll definitely be there.
All right, well, you guys keep it live, too, out there. And you're in Arizona. What part of Arizona?
I'm in the ATL.
Oh, you in Atlanta. I got one of my boys out there who raps for us. He flows for us on four of the tracks that's on our CD. And
oh, cool.
E-Class, and he's out there. He's a barber at one of the barbershops out there in Atlanta. You know.
When you come through Atlanta, just hit me up and, you know, come through. Yeah, yeah. Y'all ought to come to the house party that we do every year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
radio show. That's on the weekend of Columbus Day. That's Saturday before Columbus Day on Monday.
Can you put that in
September.
Well, put that
up. Yeah, give us all your information, man. You know, all
I will.
Yeah.
I will. I'll put it in the email.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
Yeah, it was great.
Certainly.
Thank you.
G Wright, you got to go get the music now. Play the tracks for G Wright, man.
G Wright. Oh, G Wright, going to hear him when he come over to the house. He's coming over. He's down here for a minute in the ATL. He lives in D.C. But he'll be over the house. What is Saturday, G Wright?
Yeah, I mean, it was Sunday.
All right.
Yeah, Sunday.
I got family in D.C. too, man. I got family out there. My mom's is out there, you know, in Maryland and stuff, you know. And I got my sisters in D.C., you know, so we got family out there, too. Oh, I want to give a quick shout-out to my little nephew, Kasim and Khalil. Kasim was the guitar player for the Naked Brothers Band on Nickelodeon.
Really?
Yeah, my little
grandkids were just talking about them.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, he's my great-nephew. His father is Keith Wildchild Middleton, and he's in Stomp. You know, so right now, he's in Australia right now.
Oh,
stomping that.
That's like some of my grandkids.
He's the one with the dreads.
Yep, they know Kasim, you know.
Oh, wait till I tell my grandkids.
And again, thank you so very much for calling in.
Thank you guys. I really have been blessed by your music, and I appreciate you guys being on.
Thank you for the opportunity.
We love the show.
You.
The show is great, man. I like it. I like it.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
baby.
You.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, baby.
G-Rice in the house. All right, baby.
Take care.
All right, baby.
Take care.
All right.
Peace.
I'll call you later, Pete.
All right. Miss Paula, I'm getting ready to play the Miss V song as we leave out of here. You hear me, G Wright?
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to play this Miss V song as the last drop of the night. Yeah, they were calling you G Wrong for a minute because you wasn't in. Here we go. You got to Let Me Go by Miss V, and I'll see you hopefully next week when we do this again.
Miss V, a sense of chocolate heresy.
Right.
Let me go. Hey,
you gonna set this shit out.